Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guest, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here this evening. Tonight, we are going to be talking about dreams. What are they? Magical, mystical things that go around in our head when we're asleep? Or are we asleep? Are they messages? Are they another life, parallel life? Are they things that go bump in the night in there? Are angels wanting to tell us something? Is it our higher self? Or is it just a process of our mind and our imagination that might have been on overload in the day and we couldn't hear? Maybe it's playing out at night so we can listen more intently. What really is a dream about? Is there a purpose? Or is it just minutiae and it kind of you want to shut it off? I know these days a lot of times people say, man, I'll tell you, my head just won't shut off. So they go and they take a drug to try to sleep because they feel like they can't fully rest without this constant dialogue going on in their thoughts. My guest today is Lainey Dolphin, and her book is Have a Great Dream, Decoding Your Dreams to Discover Your Full Potential. And really what Lainey will be sharing with us today is, what does go bump in the night? Is it important? Should we kind of toss it out in the morning? Or maybe we should intently listen. Lainey, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you so much for inviting me, Dr. Jeanette.
Oh, you're so welcome. So, Lainey, don't you think, you know, what can we do with our dreams? Toss them in the garbage can, or do we have to listen?
We have to listen. It's funny, and I often tell people that the worst thing you can say to your child when they wake up with a nightmare is it was just a dream, go back to sleep. Because what you want to do is engage people when they have a dream to tell, because your unconscious is always looking after you. And dreams should definitely not be tossed aside, because the great news that I'm here to tell you is that dreaming is just thinking, and actually we are problem solving in our dreams. And the solution to something that's bothering you this week comes to you in your unconscious, of course, before it gets to your conscious.
Well, you know, I think sometimes we say our head just doesn't shut off, you know. A lot of times, you know, we have, I know I've used this word many times in my younger years. I'm in my 60s now, but I remember having date books and, you know, the big full pages, and I would be stapling yellow legal sheets in there because I had so much to do every day. And I would say my head just isn't shutting off, and there's so many trains going on because there's so many things you need to juggle and have going on at once. And then when you go to sleep, it's like, phew, I don't dream. I just fall out, you know. But then there's
right,
others,
you know, who say
they do.
Yes, and you're right. Your head does not shut off because dreaming is just thinking. It's just another way of thinking, and where during the day, you're distracted, so the thinking during the day, you're distracted and you can't see your pictures, but when you go to sleep at night, all the distraction disappears, the lights, the person you're talking to, the phone's ringing, what's going on at work, the book you have to read. So all of that stuff gets in the way of you being able to see the pictures, and when you go to sleep at night, the distractions disappear, and you actually get to see what you're thinking. But I also wanted to say that the unconscious is functioning in a very similar way to the conscious, how when we wake up in the morning, we prioritize the day. Who do I have to call? Who do I have to email? What do I have to do today? And if you have 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 things happen to you today, which you probably do, if you include every time the phone rang, every time you had another thought, every time somebody said something to you, then you went to the washroom, you know, then you got on email. So if you add every anything up, you probably have 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 events that happen to you in a day. And when you go to sleep tonight, your unconscious also prioritizes the same as your conscious does in the morning. And what your unconscious does, it will choose the one thing that's bothering you the most. And all your dreams tonight, even they, if they seem different, once you deconstruct the images, which is what I'm here for, to teach you how to do that. But once you deconstruct the images and decode the dream, you find out that you're testing out different possible solutions and reactions to a very specific current issue that you are trying to problem solve.
You know, it's funny because I used to study a lot till maybe 2, 3 in the morning, sleep for an hour or two, and then get up and start my day again. And I can remember, I would say, oh, this studying, just is, I'm not retaining it. What's going on? And I would go to sleep for an hour or two. And my hour or two, I felt like I had a mental dump, like it all went somewhere else, you know? And I woke up and I said, oh, my gosh, I'll never study that late again. What's the point? And I really think that what my mind was doing was it says, you need a break. You know, you need to rest.
Right.
You need to, you know, we're not giving you any messages. You're getting total silence, and that's going to be it, you know. So I think sometimes we are always searching for answers. We search for answers in prayer and meditation. We search for answers, psychic readers search for answers from families and friends. And then we want to search for answers in our dreams, too. Sometimes I think it feels like a never-ending thing where we say, is there ever a time in our night, in our dreams, where we can actually just plain chill and rest? Is there that time?
Well, yes. And the thing is that typically dreams like that happen when you are in a stressful situation in your waking life. And the dream is the safe place to take a feeling and run with it. You know that expression? Take that feeling and run with it. And sometimes we're not exercised well enough about taking a break during the day and relaxing, and the unconscious will provide that for you. You hear that, you know, with someone who has a flying dream that's just feeling so relaxed and happy with it. You know, of course, there's so many flying dreams where you start out flying and then you turn into falling, or sometimes the opposite, where you're falling and then it turns into flying. And all of these are a comment about how you're coping with what's going on in your waking life.
How about the idea of what you experience in your dreams? Is that an intuition kind of thing? I know myself, there's times I will think of something in my dreams, and I will go through a scenario, get up the next day, check it out online, and like a perfect example of this, I've really thought of this pizza that I really, really wanted in this certain area in a city that I used to live in when I was growing up, and I thought about the pizza and what it would smell like and what it would taste like, almost like I was there. I woke up and I Googled it, and I saw that the person had died that night, and it was like, oh, okay, you know, and pretty much this scenario repeats quite often for me.
Right.
And I think that's important. Sometimes people will say that and then they kind of shun away from it.
Right. And so my specialty is looking at dreams from a psychological problem-solving perspective. And what I do is I teach people how do you uncover what life event this week happened that triggered this particular dream. And so that's what I do. But I also happen to, and I should say that I do this by using various points of entry. And points of entry are exactly like working with a puzzle. You try one piece, and if that doesn't fit, then you take it out and try another piece. And so, for example, one of the easiest points of entry to use is the feelings. How did the dreamer feel in the dream? And then it's like a dance. You come outside the dream. Well, what in your life is making you feel in a similar way? Or sometimes it's the action in the dream, or the symbols and metaphors, or play on words and puns. We use that constantly in our dreams. So, for example, if I say to you, I was so embarrassed, I thought I was going to die. And that's
right.
One of my favorite points of entry, because if you use language like that, I thought I was going to die, you might go to sleep tonight and dream that you're dying, and it's not that you're dying, it's that you're processing how embarrassed you felt, and that was the situation that triggered the dream. So that being said, and we'll go a little bit more into that. I also do believe that we are capable of so much that we don't give ourselves credit for. And what is it they say, that we're using 5% or 10% of our brain? And I think that simultaneously we are multitasking. And one of my favorite examples is a woman who dreamt about the Tok family. So the family's name is Tok, T-O-K, I believe it's spelled. And that woman, this dream is from 1997, and I still remember it. She dreamed that the Tok family was looking for shelter in a hotel. And it turned out that her associations to the Tok family, even though she hardly knows them, she met them at a camp that she went to in New York, and she hadn't been to that camp already in about 10 years or something. And she wasn't friends with the Tok family there. They were much younger than her, those boys. But that's the same camp where she met her boyfriend. And she needed to talk to her boyfriend, and in a metaphoric way, that would be her looking for shelter. She wanted to be able to feel like she could express herself to her boyfriend, and her unconscious memories linked her to the Tok family and camp to try and link her to the boyfriend, because that was where she met him, and simultaneously, it helps her talk, because she needed to express herself, and she did talk to her boyfriend and work it out. And then 2 weeks later, I don't know if you'll remember this or not, but the ice storm happened in upstate New York, and Montreal was affected by it as well. And many of us were out of power for over a month. And this woman was one of those people who had no power. And this is a few weeks after the dream, that after not seeing the Tok family for so many years, she went to a hotel looking for shelter and found the Tok family there.
Today we discuss many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.
Interesting.
And that's what I mean.
Play out, yeah.
Isn't that great?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I would say that sometimes, like Edgar Cayce said, we are problem solving in our dreams, and we are using memories from the past, from the present, and sometimes from the future in order to problem solve a current issue that's happening today.
Yeah, and I think sometimes we tend to judge our thoughts. We tend to write them down and edit the story. You know, a lot of times, you know, even when I write something down, that you know, I had someone that was reading it, and they say, "Oh, but you need to enhance this. You need to fix this. You need to do that." And it's almost like, why are you editing my life story? You know. And I think when people get up from a dream, just as you said in the beginning, is, you know, recreate it and share it or write it down as it appears in your memory without it self-editing, right?
Yes, and I often wonder if one of the reasons why my dream recall is so in tune is it because, like, my dad was the one that would come in the middle of the night if we had a nightmare when I was growing up, and my father never said, oh, that was just a dream, go back to sleep. He used to say, oh, you had a nightmare, tell me. And he engaged me completely to share the dream with him, and then when it was time to go back to sleep, he would say, now you're going to lie down and we're going to say, I'm going to have a nightmare. Bring it on. I'm ready for it. Bring it on. I'm going to have the nightmare. And of course, you know, I never had another nightmare that night. Like, once I would do that, it was like he built up my power, literally. So that, and Jung would have called that active imagination, which works so well about changing your mind. And so I don't know if you'd call that an edit, because in some sense it is, but it's a very healthy way to, you know, help get a child back to sleep, to put you in such a powerful position as that.
And also, too, it's really about kids can have, as they say, overactive minds. Really, it's just that kids are reporting so much more these days. I mean, these kids that are born now, wow. They're smarter. They seem like they're well-versed. They have communication skills that are just off the wall. You know, you sit back and you go, oh, dear. You know, when I think back when, I'm in my 60s. I think back when I was younger. I don't ever remember having a sense of an awareness in the world or that type seeker, you know, mode in my life.
Right.
It just seems
well,
so different.
Well, it's true. And you're talking about children and childhood, and I don't want to ever leave a discussion without putting in that the whole reason why I do dream analysis, really, besides the unbelievable problem solving that's happening and the suggestions that come to us, from our own unconscious mind. When we are born whole. We come into the world with a plethora of potential. We can be selfish, giving, shy, assertive. We could be a hero, a chicken. We can be maybe the comedian in the family, maybe the person who's more serious. And the people that bring us up teach us that it's more better to be one way than another way. And my favorite example is that if you're brought up in a home with siblings, you probably get the message that it's not okay to be selfish. Because you hear sentences like, go share your toys with your brother. Go look after your sister. And your whole existence is about sharing, anyways, your parents' attention and saying yes to being giving. And conversely, if you're brought up as an only child, you're getting the exercise about being okay about thinking about yourself. And so what happens is that we become what Frederick Perls would have called over-invested in some aspects of our personality and under-invested in other aspects. I call it over-exercised and under-exercised. So it doesn't mean that those parts of you have disappeared. They're sleeping parts of yourself. Carl Jung would have called them your shadows. But all of the parts of yourself appear in your dreams. And a one-picture perfect example is this fellow who dreamt that he's climbing up a ladder, a tall ladder, and there's paper everywhere. There's paper all over the place. And the higher he goes up the ladder, the more papers are filling in everywhere. And up at the top of the ladder is encouraging him to continue going up is his college roommate, who he hadn't seen in like 20 years. And using a symbol's point of entry, I asked him to tell me, what are the first two or three things that come to your mind about that person? And the first thing that the dreamer said to me was that he associates him as a selfish, take care of me first kind of guy. That was his language, a selfish, take care of me first kind of guy. That's the person who's encouraging him up the ladder. And so the dreamer was using the ladder as a comment about his work, his job, like climbing the corporate ladder, so to speak.
Right.
And it comes in the form of a picture. And the event that triggered the dream was all the paper and work that was all over the dreamer's desk that he really wanted to get to, but his friends had called him asking him to come with them to a movie, and this is a dreamer that's under-exercised in saying no. He's not in touch with the part of him that is that take care of me first kind of guy. He's disconnected from that sleeping part of himself, and more like he was with his siblings. Those are very often people who we know, myself included, who have more difficulty saying no. And they say yes, because they're just not comfortable saying no to people. And so this character that is encouraging him up the ladder, now that the dreamer understands what the dream is about, and he's in touch with the fact that he doesn't want to go to a movie. He wants to be at work, and that's what he wants to take care of. And now he knows he needs to access that unfamiliar part of himself, and the following day gets up, and once the dream is analyzed and he understands it, he calls his friends and excuses himself from going to a movie, and he allows himself to say no and to pay attention to himself. So for me, Dr. Jeanette, you will find out that there's no right or wrong or good or bad. Not in my world. In my world, there is appropriate and inappropriate. Is the dreamer responding to their waking life situation in the most appropriate, beneficial way? And that's what we always look at, because you don't want to imagine. I mean, I'm 66. I can't imagine living my life using the same knee-jerk response to life situations that I learned in my upbringing, and which was my parents' perception of who I am and who I'm supposed to be. Hopefully, I want to reach a point of maturation, individuation, and also just plain fun for myself and the people in my life, not to be boring and to always react with the same reaction to all these unbelievable dichotomy of life situations that happen to us.
You know, we even wouldn't have this conversation even 20 years ago, I don't think. I think really that humans have evolved very rapidly, you know, because if you look at even just the internet, it was almost like, oh my gosh, do you mean I could think differently? Oh my gosh, I don't have to believe what's in my circle or what I might have been exposed to. You know, in other words, there's so much more out there. And I think we're almost like reborn kind of type idea, because we have now opportunities that are in front of us and the ability to say no, or the ability to say, I choose something different, or to say free will, even to use those words. Well, I mean, you ought to know, and I know, we don't use those words in the 50s and 60s. It was yes, no, do. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So, right. So I really think that the young children now are really brought in, where just as you said, you come in very much naive of the world and open it, and you know, you can engage in all those possibilities. It's really society and the timing of when you were brought into this Earth's paradigm or timeline in which you may have been altered. So now we're now at the point where everyone at every decade and every issue can say, I have an opportunity. And isn't that the difference, don't you think?
Yes, of course, and trying on different behaviors, it is very behavioral, and I liken it to working out in a gym, because when you first use muscles that you haven't used before, it hurts the next day, and it even hurts more 2 days later. So the first time someone who has trouble saying no says it, it's like your first time in the gym, and it's not that comfortable. But if you try it again, and then you try it again, you start to exercise and get stronger to take back all these different parts of yourself. And once you do that, you change the dynamic of the relationships that you're in, because people don't mm-hmm. always expect, then they don't necessarily know what response you're going to give to different situations, which of course puts you into a very powerful situation when you're not just, when you stop yourself from your knee-jerk reaction and give yourself an opportunity to assess how you want to approach this person or this situation. It makes a big difference.
Also, too, I think you evolve in time. You know, I can say for myself, you know, there's times that I will, I always seem to be the type that will always feed someone or let someone stay at my house, or it doesn't matter. In other words, I was always the helping part. Well, I mean, I've been in healthcare almost 5 decades, of course. But the other day I had some requirements for a class I was taking, and I reached out to 10 people. 5 responded, and I took care of the requirements, and I was done, and the other 5 didn't. Well, the class was over, and the other 5 then decided to email me, and they were like, well, can we do it now? Because, you know, I have time, and I need to get it done, da-da-da. And the old me might have said, you know, sure, I'll help you out. But the new me, and I remember this distinctly from a dream, is that I kept hearing the word done, 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 you know, shut the door, done, done, done. And when they said that, it was just like, you know what? I emailed them back. I said, you know, I'm done with the class. You know, the class is over.
Right.
It's not my emergency if you didn't do it within the class time, you know. And I just said, no, I'm sorry. I'm just I'm busy with the rest of my things that I normally do, and I'm not able to do that. And I can honestly say that in other times, it might have ruffled my feathers, or I might have been like, oh, my gosh, you should have done it. What are they going to think about it? And I was like, hey, you know what? Forget about it. You know, I'm done with it. I'm done with the class. That was what it was. And move on. And I just
right.
let it go. And I think that's really
great.
About sometimes taking that one essence, as you say, of your dream. What is the essence of it? Is it, you know, to think about something, pay attention to something, to move forward, to shapeshift, to change, to learn what maybe love is, or to maybe say no, or to maybe say, you know what, putting your foot down, you know, that kind of idea. I can remember a time when my, like, right foot was, like, driving me crazy, and it was like, I can't put my foot down on the ground. It really hurts. Well, yeah, of course you can't put your foot down. What's the point? You know? And we think about the language we use, right?
Yes, you're so funny, and you remind me of the woman who said to me, there were snakes all over the floor. I couldn't put my foot down.
So who was going to eat her up,
we
right?
We do that. We do that yeah. with the pictures. And
yes.
when a dreamer is talking, I'm sitting with a pen writing like a maniac because I want
yeah.
to get their language, or
mm-hmm.
the woman who is dreaming that she's got the most adorable puppy that she just bought, and she's so happy with herself that she got that puppy. And she has the dog on a table right in front of her. She's sitting at the table, and the dog is on the table. And all of a sudden, she goes from being happy to all of a sudden the puppy poos all over the table and all over her. And some of the ways, one of the points of entry you can use for a solution to the issue is by asking the dreamer, what is it that you would do? What if you really had a puppy and you were really at a table in your waking life and it pooed all over you, what would you do?
Right.
What would be your solution? And she said, well, I would take it off the table. That's the first thing I would do. And the dream turned out to be about a brand new job that she had gotten about 10 days before, and she was so excited about that new job. And within 10 days, she found out that the boss is absolutely abusive, totally verbally abusive. So he was pooing all over her, literally. And
right.
and that's what triggered the dream. And the dreamer's language, what does she say? Yeah. She says, well, the first thing I would do is take it off the table. Like, which is such a great expression, isn't it?
Right.
Like, I'm
so
taking this
that,
off
you know,
the table.
Move it off. Yeah.
And then I'm going to clean the puppy up and clean myself up. And that was her solution. She quit the job. She took the
yeah.
job off the table, literally.
Yeah, yeah. It's so interesting, I think, when we allow ourselves to be expressive. Do you know what I mean? There's so many times in this day and age with social media, with so much judgment around us, we're literally encapsulating, and it's almost like there's so many filters before your words get out there. Do they really even hear them, or do we really even hear them ourselves? Do you know what I mean? I said something the other day. I was talking with someone, and they're like, they answered, and it was like a weird answer. I said, what did I just say? And they couldn't even repeat it. I said, so you weren't hearing me or you weren't listening, correct? And they said, oh, I can only hear out of one ear. And in other words, they were, In other words, they're selective, and they were not going to listen to what you have to say, no matter what it is, because you're on that side of them. But they're going to listen to the other world outside of them. And don't you know, just exactly yesterday this played out. There was a show on television last night, or the other night, about the airplane that it went up in the sky. It lost 5 years and it landed. So in other words, they had a time warp thing, you know. And I had said to them, I says, oh, that's so cool. They had a time warp, you know. They jumped into a parallel life and they jumped back. And they're like, oh, I don't believe that stuff. That stuff doesn't exist. There's no such thing. And I went, oh, okay then. You know, and that's a perfect example of, I'm going to listen to what I believe on the right side. But if you're on the left side and you're having this whatever, I'm not listening to it because it doesn't make sense to me. So it was like, whoa, okay.
Right. And the thing about dream analysis that I love so much is that dream analysis gives us an opportunity to look in at what it is that we can change about ourselves. And for every minute that you spend looking in at something that you can better understand about yourself and the way you function, you are spending the exact same amount of time not looking out at trying to change someone else, where you have no power anyways. The only power we have is to be able to change ourselves. You can't go and change someone else. But once you change yourself and exercise different parts of yourself and use those parts that are new to you, once you start doing that, you automatically change the essence of the relationships with the people that you love. It's like an automatic. It's like taking, I'm trying to remember who likened this, it'll come to me in a minute, where she talked about removing, that if you remove one part of a child's, where are my words today, Dr. Jeanette? The mobile that's hanging over a child's crib, if you remove one of the pieces, the mobile is going to start shaking all over the place, but it does stop, and it ends up landing in a new shape. And that's what happens when you start changing different parts of yourself, is that the people around you as well start changing.
Right. But also, too, the idea is that you may be best in situations to remember, that's fabulous, because on the other side that he's not hearing, then I can also arise. Do you know what I'm saying? So, in other words, you can also understand that they aren't influencing your path. You're able to complete your path devoid of them. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, that is really an important thing. A lot of times people say, but I have to shift, I have to change for them so they will hear me, so they will listen to me, I have to be heard. And it's almost like, you know, I heard this phrase one time, and they said, just because you can't help me doesn't mean you can't help anyone else. So in other words, just because your life, you're in a situation or a relationship or a work or a job or whatever that is, and it isn't working, doesn't mean that that's the only one out there. You know, I think a lot of times people say, oh, but I don't want to know much more about myself because, you know, then I'll have to change, or then they'll have to change, or, oh, I'll have to this or that. And I'll say, why are you so afraid of expanding yourself? Do you really want to be limited? You know what I mean? And it's
yes, I do.
Yeah, and almost to me, I like want to say to them, I said, ooh, we're playing small today. Where's the sandbox? You know, and they just look at you and they go, what? And I'm just like, you know, and in other words,
and
it wasn't
boring.
Judgment.
How boring.
Yeah, it wasn't judgment or it wasn't a spew. All it was is a recognition. I see, you're playing in the sandbox. Okay, you know, and it was like, I choose not to play in the sandbox. And I think that's scary for a lot of people because, you know, I definitely know this. People, when they start opening up their chakras, they start listening to people. They go to alternative therapies. They start going to different doctors. They start asking questions, you know, about your dreams and things. And they say, oh, dear, they're expanding more. That's trouble for me.
And your unconscious wants you to change. I'm just thinking about this woman who is, like, famous for her procrastination. And she's got, like, an important event happening in her life and procrastinating. And she dreams that she's sitting in a chair and the chair starts on fire. And so that's, the kind of opposite of Freud, who's looking into the past like the man who's climbing up the ladder, and he realizes when he investigates deeper, on a deeper level, he understands that it's because he grew up in a home with siblings and he hasn't practiced the part of himself that knows how to say no. This is a woman who's this is very Adlerian, because Alfred Adler, instead of looking into your past, he would have said the dream gives rise to an emotion that helps the dreamer move forward towards the goal. And in this case, she dreamt that her seat was on fire, and it forced her out of the seat. So that's what the response, her very healthy unconscious is sort of booting her procrastinating self into movement.
And really, though, dreams are really about expanding your consciousness and being more engaging in it versus living a life where you believe that everything is a cause and effect and equal reaction and all that other stuff. You know, I mean, when we grew up, I'm sure you've had it, the same kind of science and history books, you know, where I'm going to push this and it's going to come back this way. And it's sort of like, huh? You know, and it's like we believe that there's like something out there that controls the whole system. Do you know what I mean? And we have to be followers instead of creators, you know?
Exactly. I just love what you're saying, because especially in today's time with all the groupthink and all the one side or the other side and all this stuff that goes on, dream analysis gives you the opportunity to actually really respect and appreciate how individual all of us are. And we might agree partway on some of the things, and that you're allowed not to agree about everything, you know, because every single memory and association that you've had ever since you're born is there in your unconscious. You know, some people call it's like a database, or for those of us that are over 50, I call it a filing cabinet. And when you want to say something to yourself, the filing cabinet opens up and you're very unique as a fingerprint. Associations, the filing cabinet opens up and you use memories and associations that you have stored there from your whole life in order to say something to yourself about something that's going on this week. So if I have an argument with Andrew, my husband, in my database, every single boyfriend that I've ever had in my whole life is in the same filing cabinet as Andrew is. And so is my father there and my brother, because they are both male family members, and Andy is a male family member. So all of these people are interchangeable in your dreams. And when I want to say something to myself about the way Andy made me feel yesterday, this vast database that you can't look up in any of those dream dictionaries, this database will open up and I will choose somebody, whether from 3 years ago or 50 years ago, I will choose somebody who made me feel in the precise way that Andy is making me feel this week. And that's who I will use as a metaphor for him.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting, I think, when we feel like we're able to access all this information and be able to explore our thoughts, yes?
I love it. I'll never get tired of it.
How hard is that, you know? I mean, I think sometimes, now we have to look at this, and Lainey, we do need to say this, that if this exploration of thought, mind, spirit happened 40 years ago or 50 years ago, you know, you all know where we'd be, right? We'd be locked up someplace. Right? A lot of times people would say, yeah, they would say, you know, hey, I think this, I saw that. Oh, my gosh, did you feel? In other words, if we've had this great exploration of something else other than our physical matter and how we should appear, that definitely was a conjuring up of an idea. I mean, you look back at mental health hospitals, you know, what's the codes to be able to admit you? Woman talk crazy, you know? Woman acts out in dreams, you know, or woman has crazy thoughts, you know, and we think about it and we go, whoa, what about that, you know?
Right. Right, and that's so I'm a big proponent. That's why I call it all have a great dream, because for me, all dreams are good. All dreams are great.
And being able
especially
to share
nightmares.
It, though. Right?
I'm sorry?
To be able to share it, because I think so many times people get scared to, but now everybody's so free about it. Isn't that a wonderful time to be alive now, right?
Isn't it? Yes, of course. And your unconscious is always on your best side. It's in our waking life, we are, I call it, welcome to the human race, because we are so adept at hiding, lying, avoiding, sweeping. I mean, this is what we do. It's part of the human condition. But your unconscious mind never lies to you. And so whatever it is that you're underreacting to in your waking life, your dream is going to overreact, hence the nightmare or the recurring dream. That's where they come from. They come from your unconscious wanting to create a balance. It's the same thing as if you have to go to the washroom. You can hold it in, hold it in, hold it in. At a certain point, you have to pee. You can't hold it in anymore. Mm. And our feelings are the same. You can hold it in, hold it in, hold it in, and if you don't come out with it, your unconscious is going to provide that outlet, and it helps create a balance. On the one hand, it's healthy because it creates a balance, and what it also does is it successfully grabs your attention, because your unconscious mind wants you to talk about whatever issue it is.
You know what, Lainey, I think we really went around thinking about how dreams could be a potential to be able to explore furthermore, you know, of our life experience. It's really about, we're not in this world to be able to have things hard, to be afraid of so much, to be afraid of not exploring, or really have so many fears that we seem to have, you know, a mountain of them. It's really about exploring your dreams and being able to live fully engaged in life, yes?
Absolutely, and I don't even golf, and in the second book, I call it playing a different game on the back nine, because I played the first 40 years through my parents' perception of who I am and who I'm supposed to be, and for the next 40 years, I'm going to take back all those different parts of myself.
Yeah. You know, that's definitely where a lot of elders are these days. I think that they say, we see elders, you know, who are now acting like, what did that one woman say? I had a guest on, she says, now that we've retired, we can act like children. And I'll say, well, I don't understand that, you know what I mean? It's sort of like, why did you lose that piece of yourself of adventure in the first place, do you know what I mean? But we can conceptually see it, because they weren't able to do that. And a lot of people who are in their over 50s now did not have a chance to have a great childhood, did not have a chance to do a lot of things. They were kind of pushed into jobs, pushed into this, or having kids, and this is the way it should be. So I think it's a great time for all generations to explore, yes?
I agree with you 100%, definitely.
I'll tell you, it's a different time. Well, Lainey, thank you so much for joining us today. Could you share with the listeners how to find out more information about you? That'd be wonderful.
Well, my internet site is the same as the two books, the book set. It's called haveagreatdream.com. And you can find the books by going to haveagreatdream.com, and you can find links. You can sign up for a free course in dream analysis there, where you'll get 5 emails over 5 days with 5 videos and 5 articles. To give you an idea, you can book a private consultation, and I'm a speaker and a teacher, so you can book me for an engagement if you like. So there's all kinds of articles and things you can choose from at haveagreatdream.com.
Well, Lainey, it was such a pleasure to have you with us today. I think that it just eases our mind and says, oh, okay, I'm not going to be afraid of it like that, like something's going to come out, kind of get me idea. It's just an exploration. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Dr. Jeanette. You're lovely. Lovely.
Oh, thank you so much. If you'd like to find out more information about Lainey Delphin, again, her book is Have a Great Dream, Decoding Your Dreams to Discover Your Full Potential. Please do click on the link on the bottom of today's show page and go directly to her website. And please do check out where she said about a dream analysis. That sounds so exciting to be able to get some information back and say, how can I explore this concept and this idea? She has a lot of support and a lot of information there where you can just dabble in it and say, hey, I never even knew this, and isn't this great? Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. Till tomorrow, have a great day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.